Blog Talk Radio.
Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory and show me your power. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Less of me,
less of me,
and
more of you is what I need.
Rejecting the love in your warm embrace, but I realize I need you more and more each day.
I need you,
Lord. Oh, I need you.
I want your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me,
and more of you.
Evangelist Adrian Bedard, but I'm Evangelist Priscilla Williams, standing in for
Evangelist Benora this afternoon. And we're going to go straight to our opening scripture. We always have to have the Word of God. We've got to have the first presence of God in everything we do and say, with the scripture, the Word, and prayer. And we're going to go to Luke, the book, the Gospel of Luke, and the first chapter, beginning at the 26th verse through the 34th verse. Amen and amen. And it reads, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, meaning greetings, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen and amen. Lord, continuously have a blessing on the reading, the hearers and doers of the word. We thank God for Lady Carol Stafford Adams being with us. And we're going to ask if she is available at the moment to open us up in prayer. And if she is unavailable, we're going to go right on and proceed on into our program segment that is already in progress. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God. Give an honor to the Evangelist Bernard and to you and to all of those that are on the line. Truly, I count it a privilege once again to be before the people of God. And right now, we're going to go into prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just bless your holy name, Father God, for the God that you are and the God that you are in our lives. We praise you, we adore you, we magnify you, and we place no one above you. And Father God, we just bless you for this great holiday that's coming in, because we bless your name each and every day, because you are God of the universe, and there's none like you. And Father God, and we just ask everyone to open up their minds, bless the speaker on today, in the name of Jesus. Bless your people everywhere around the world that is listening to this broadcast right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Bless you, woman of God. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. We're going to now go into our segment this afternoon. And we're so elated and honored to have a very prominent speaker with us today. And this man of God is a doctor, apostle, and pastor of Global Outreach Ministries. Columbia, South Carolina. Praise the Lord. He is a husband to his beloved First Lady and wife, Jennifer, and father of two children. He's also overseer of Healing and Compassion Ministry, where evangelist and prophetess Cheryl Harrison ministers prayer and healing in the prophetic word of God. Brethren, help me applaud and receive this man of God as I present a song and introduce to others Dr. Pastor Walter Clark. Amen and amen. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you. How you doing today? God bless you. Can you hear me out there?
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. We can hear
you. All right. We greet everybody in the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank God today, amen, for this beautiful day. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. And we praise God for everything he's doing. We praise God for the season that we are in. And we're so grateful to the Lord for having this opportunity to come on the air again to bring you word from the Spirit of God. And we just thank God for all things. We praise God. Amen. For my wife being on the line today, Co-Pastor Jennifer Clark. We praise God for her listening in. We thank God, amen, for the Global Outreach family. Some of them are probably still at work, but if any of them are listening, we thank God for your listening ears. And we do certainly praise God for my spiritual parent, Apostle Harrison, Cheryl Harrison, and Bishop Eddie Harrison. We praise God for them in Jesus' precious name. God is just so wonderful. And he's good in Jesus' precious name. And we just bless the name of the Lord. Evangelist, when I saw the scripture for today, Isaiah 9 and 6, and then Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, I said, oh, boy, this is a good one right here. Praise the Lord. One to certainly make it stretch and expand of what God is saying to the people of God and also what he is saying to the church. And so when I read this scripture, I said, oh, yeah, Lord, here we go. We got to look at this in a different way, in a different light. But we praise God for the two scriptures, the scripture in Isaiah, and then the scripture in the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2 today, and beginning at verse 1, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And Father, we bless your name. We thank you, O God, for how you have just repeatedly blessed us over and over and over again. We praise you, Lord God, for this moment in time. God, we pray, God, that you would bring this word of teaching, bring this word of power, oh God, in this season. We're asking you, God, in the name of Jesus, to fill every heart, fill, oh God, every mind, fill, oh God, every body, oh God. I ask, oh God, that you teach us. I ask, oh God, that you enlighten us, illuminate us. Lord Jesus, bring revelation, power, and understanding through this teaching today. Oh, God, most importantly, Lord God, let it be a word that's going to cause us to, oh, God, change something about us, the way we look at things, the way we think. Oh, God, let it be a word, oh, God, that when we're off the air today, that we continue to think about, oh, God, this, oh, God, teaching that you have brought. And, Lord Jesus, in this season, we're asking that you do something new for every one of the listeners today. God, as we begin to leave one year and into another, we pray blessings, oh, God, from the people of God. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen and amen. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And then verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these words, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And we're going to go from the topic that you all have been on this week, wise men still seek him. Wise men still seek him. Just to build a little background, I'm just going to talk about the word wisdom and then also what it is to be wise. And then we'll go directly into our text today of wise men still seek him. When we look at wisdom, I like to think of wisdom as like a container that's filled with water, or a bucket full of water. And we'll get to what I mean by using this analogy or comparison. Wisdom is the quality or state of one being wise. It is the state of one being wise to what is true or right, also coupled with just judgment as to an action, discernment, or insight. Nobody can judge a matter like God. Nobody can discern a matter or a situation like God. No one has the insight that God has in a given situation or a given problem like God has. Nobody has the kind of judgment that God has. Very often our judgment is different from the judgment of God. This is truly the quality that separates God and makes God different from anyone else, is his ability to rightfully discern, his ability to look at things very differently, his ability to judge and make no mistake. He is the only person that can have right judgment the same every single time there is a judgment that needs to take place. When we think of wisdom, oftentimes we think of some scholarly knowledge or learning that has taken place. For example, many of us, all of us have gone to school, whether it be high school, whether it be a technical college or college or post-secondary education. When we look at scholarly knowledge, it is the acquisition of knowledge. We go to college, whether it's a Bible college, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's a Bible study. We go there to acquire knowledge. It's as if they're in this bucket that has wisdom in it. Every time we go to this particular place, anytime we dip or pour out of the bucket, we're pouring out of the bucket of wisdom. And so as we go to school, as we learn, whatever degree that we get it in, whether it's to be a doctor or lawyer or engineer or teacher, it could be a biochemist. It could be that we're in school for a paleontologist or scientist. It can be assumed that after we have acquired the degree and walked across the stage, it can be assumed that after we have been given the certificate, that there is a certain amount of wisdom that also we walk away with just by being in that learning institution. Same as in a Bible institution. When we leave the Bible college, we are supposed to walk out with more than what we had before we came in. And so this indicates not only that you have acquired knowledge, but also that you have been poured into, that wisdom has been poured into you by the instructor or by the teacher or by the one who has deemed to be the teacher for the subject that you just taught. In order for you to be a teacher, you must not only have the knowledge, but you got to have the wisdom to go with the knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom equals a totality of what you are to walk away from, because when you walk out of that situation, you using knowledge and wisdom is supposed to change everything about you and everything you come into contact with, because now you know how to deal with situations when they come upon you. You don't have to wait until you experience it to learn from it. You learn or you acquire that knowledge beforehand, before you're faced with that situation, before you have to go out there and deal with the challenge. You have gone to school. You have gone to Bible school to properly prepare you on how to face the challenge. You have gone to school to properly prepare you on how to build the business, how to open the daycare, how to open the church, how to run the church. You've gone there to acquire the knowledge and wisdom. And any teacher who is going to teach us needs not only have knowledge, but they need to have wisdom to go along with the knowledge that you have gone into that institution to acquire. And so when we think of wisdom, wisdom to me is like a bucket that is full of water. And anytime you come into contact with something new or some new teaching or new revelation, it could be something that you never thought of before. We have dipped some of the water out of that bucket. The water to me represents the wisdom. So I have dipped or taken some of the wisdom from out of the bucket and poured on your head. Now you have the wisdom that you need in order to go about your business. So when we think of wisdom, wisdom is like the place where the wise come to get wisdom in order for them to be wise. Anybody that studies, whether it's scholarly, whether it's the word of God, the only way that you can have the wisdom, the only way that you can be wise is that you study wisdom. The Bible indicates to us in Proverbs chapter 8, it said that he is wisdom. It talked about Jesus Christ being wisdom. In order for us to be wise, we must study wisdom. Who is wisdom? It's Jesus. It's God himself. So when we study wisdom, we are pulling from wisdom. Why? We become wise when we pull from wisdom. And so as we execute, as we think, as we interact, people now see us as being wise. And so when we look at the definition of wise, it means having the power of discerning and judging properly. The only way you can do that is through the wisdom by which you have obtained. It goes back, wise goes back to possessing discernment. You really can't separate wisdom from being wise. Wisdom and wise, they go together. You pull from wisdom in order to be wise. Wise is also characterized by a showing such power. In other words, it goes back even to the story of Solomon, to where he had to judge right the kingdom. Being a young king, there was no way that he had the experience to run the kingdom, but he asked God for wisdom. And so the people came to know him as a wise king because he got his wisdom from God. Anything that we study, anything we study intensely, we become adept, we become skilled at it, we become knowledgeable as in that area. For example, if we go to the doctor, we might go to what we call a family doctor to diagnose. We might have a cold. When we go to the doctor, we might find out that it's more than just a cold. He might send you to the ear, nose, and throat specialist. You might find out that you might need to go to a bone specialist, or you might find out that you may need to go to a neuro doctor, or someone who has, I guess, wisdom and a deeper depth and knowledge in the area of the brain. It is the area of specialty. And so in the Bible here, the Bible in Matthew chapter 2 talks about the wise men. The Bible says, Matthew 2 and 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east." Notice where they came from. They came from the east. Also, know this, that the wise men were also referred to as magi. These wise men or magi who came from the east came because they had knowledge or they had some type of insight about the baby Jesus being born. So they came from the east. These wise men, why were they known as wise men? Let's look at this for a second. They were known as wise men or magi because they uttered prophecy. They explained omens. They explained dreams. They practiced divination. And so they were referred to as magi because they had they specialized in prophecies, or they specialized in explaining omens and or dreams, or so self-proclaimed them to specialize in that area. Now, get this. They were not necessarily wise men of God. The Bible simply said they were wise men. And in Matthew chapter 2, they got to Jesus, watch this, they got to Jesus by studying the stars, the planetarian planetarian rotation, the position of the stars in sky, the stars and planets in the sky. These men were known as magi. They were often referred to as Zoroastrian priests, who were believed to possess supernatural powers. The Zoroastrian priests, or they were also known as an Iranian religion, founded in 600 B.C. So they came from the east. They had studied the planet. They had studied the star. They followed the star. The star took them to where the baby Jesus was. Also, when we look at this thing, you asked the question, could you follow a star for direction? Could you follow or look in the area to where a certain planet is and walk in a certain direction? Yes, you can. They studied the stars. Notice their studying of the stars had nothing to do with their studying and application of the word of God itself. Nowhere in the scripture do we connect these wise men to being students or even of the nation of the Jews. And so they get here by studying the stars. The Bible, when we look at this particular passage of scripture, they call them wise men. They also call them magi. I want us to look in Daniel chapter 2. Remember when King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and no one in the kingdom could interpret the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he sent for the wise men, he sent for the astrologers, he sent for the magicians, he sent for the soothsayers, because he had a dream. And the interesting thing about this particular dream is that when he dreamed the dream, he really couldn't remember the dream. And so, because he said in one scripture, he said, the dream left me. And so this was a particular challenge to any wise man or magician that lived during that particular time. If you would turn for a second, the book of Daniel chapter 2. Book of Daniel chapter 2, and we want to look at verse 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 2. And that word is Zoroastrian priest, or Zoroastrian, which was the Iranian religion founded in 600 B.C., which referred to the direction that the Magi, or wise men, came from. Just wanted to give you the correct pronunciation of that word. Daniel 2 and 2. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, or the magicians. And let's look at chapter, let's look at 2 and 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. Now watch this. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was so troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king, O king, live forever. Tell thy servant the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. In other words, I had a dream. It troubled me, but I can't even recall it. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. How many know that? How many know God was setting up Daniel, and also not just Daniel and his associates, for one of the greatest blessings of all time? This is interesting because God allows Nebuchadnezzar to dream a dream, knowing that nobody else, no matter how skilled they were, watch, and I'm going to say it again, no matter how skilled they were, the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and we can say the soothsayers, no matter how skilled they were, no matter how much they were in contact with the spiritual realm, if they were not in contact with God, they can get no interpretation of the dream. There are things that God only gives interpretation of to those who are connected with him. And I'm so glad that I'm connected with God. It's so good to be connected with God in this day and time. For there are some secrets that are be unknown to man until we get on our knees and pray. There are some things that will never be revealed to us until we tap into the power of God. So the difficulty about this thing is that they called themselves wise men. Wise men. They were magicians. They were the Chaldeans. They were the sorcerers. They were the astrologers. And here the astrologers studied the stars, such as the Magi or the wise men who were astrologers. They studied the stars.
They studied the positions of planets, the stars. They studied all of that to try to predict the future, to try to predict time, to predict events. They did all this without first studying wisdom, who is God, who will tell them the future if they tap into the Spirit of God. So God allows this to happen. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Nobody could interpret it. And when he sent out the decree, Daniel was considered a wise man. And so when they started, when they executed the demand of the king, they went and they were, in other words, a slaughter was executed. They were sent out to destroy the wise men of Babylon. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar said, wait a minute. I got you here for a reason. You're supposed to be able to open the heart thing. You know, you're supposed to be able to give me advice when I need advice. I need advice now. You can't help me. I got a dream that's troubling me, and you can't help me. In other words, you know what? If y'all are no help, then away with you all. You're useless. You mean nothing to me. But there was a man in the kingdom. There was a man who knew God. There was a man who prayed three times a day. There was a man who knew how to turn down his plate. There was a man who fasted for 21 days. There was a man who had confidence in God. There was a man that felt that if I don't have the answer right now, just give me a little bit of time, and if I go in my secret closet and pray, I'll come out with the answer. And there's people listening right now. You don't have the answer to what you need to deal with on next week, but if you just pause, if you just spend time in your secret closet and pray, you'll come out with the answer. I may not have the answer right now, but when I come out, I'm coming with the answer. Daniel said, wait a minute, what's going on here? They said the king has sent a decree to have all the wise men, have them destroyed, have them slain. Why? Because they can't interpret the dream. Daniel looked and said, just wait a minute. Hold on, I'm not like everybody else. I'm a Jew. I know God. I'm a Hebrew. You know, I know the God of Israel. I know the God who opened the Red Sea. I know the God who fought for us. I haven't given up on that God. We might be in captivity physically, but my soul, my mind, my prayers are not captive by my situation. And get what I'm saying here. During the time, this was the time that Israel were in slavery, or they were governed by Babylon. But get this, though they were governed by Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar was the king, Daniel's prayer was not governed by Babylon. Daniel's prayer was governed by God himself, so he could get a prayer through in the middle of his situation. In the middle of it. No matter what you are going through today, you can get a prayer through the depression, the oppression. If we fall on our knees and pray, we can get a prayer through. But God was going to use this situation if you stay in it long, if you fast long enough, if you pray long enough, if you read long enough, if you be still long enough. God will set you up in due time. He'll create a storm. He'll create a situation. He'll create a panic. He'll bring up a challenge, not for you to be afraid, because he'll bring up the challenge so that you can be the only one who stands up to the challenge, and God brings you victory in it, and where you were is now no longer where you'll be on next week. The challenge is not for us. The challenge is for us to be brought up to the next level. The challenge is for those around us so that those around us can recognize who God's people really is. That's how people know who we really are, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of situations, in the midst of a difficult situation such as this, where nobody could give the interpretation, but there was one man that said, give me some time. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You may be challenged, and this is the mindset we got to have. The challenge is not for me. It's for everybody around me. Because when they back off, when they fear, when they run, when they get scared, God is going to cause me to stand up in the midst of this situation. And people will look at me and expect me to bow down to this challenge. And when I don't, oh, God, have mercy. God will save my life. That's how God promotes you in the midst of a challenge, in the midst of a difficult situation. Here comes your promotion. Daniel, take me. Look at the storm. No situation, no promotion. No storm, no promotion. No difficult. If you've never been to the point to where you almost were about to break and lose your mind, sometimes you got to go there before promotion comes, because God gets the glory, and he said, no flesh will glory in my presence. Sometimes God got to break you all the way down just to let you know that you didn't do it yourself. It's me that did it. So he works in this situation. He brings his dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And here are all these wise men. Here are all these magicians in Babylon. That now here is the true challenge. In other words, it's like, God, I hear you right now. God, I feel you. In other words, this is how God was separating the wheat from the tares. This is how God was separating the children of God from the non-children of God. God will do it. He'll bring a situation to bring separation. Here's to God. Hallelujah. He'll bring a situation just to show the people who is really in church and who's really not in church. He'll bring a situation just to show the people who's really of God and who's really not of God. God really. He does it. That's what we got. This situation brought God out in Daniel. This situation brought wisdom out of Daniel. This, oh God, God, I praise you right now. I thank you right now. This situation was an opportunity for God to prove to his people, praise the Lord, if you serve me, I'll bless you. If you worship me, I'll lift you up.
Hey,
praise the Lord. I wish I had a witness in here. Praise the Lord. Your family can be going through hell, but I'll raise you up in the midst of it. So the hell cannot affect you because I got my arms around you.
Yes.
Isn't it funny how you can live in poverty and be rich? How you can live in slavery and be promoted? How your kingdom can be taken over. But God made a way for you to have the high place. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Here he is. He brought him. They couldn't interpret it. Daniel said, just give him some time. Let me go in my secret closet. I just need some quiet time.
Yeah.
Anybody ever like that? I don't know the answer right now, but let me go in my secret closet. I'll get the answer. When I come out, I'm coming out swinging. When I come out, I'm coming out running. Praise the Lord. So he goes into a secret closet. He begins to pray. Praise the Lord. Along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they begin to pray. God chooses Daniel, gives him the interpretation of the dream. Without the king telling him what the dream was, now, that's some real stuff right there. You're going to tell me what I dreamed, and I didn't tell you what I dreamed?
Thank you, Lord.
Not only that, you're going to tell me what I dreamed, and you're going to give me an interpretation of it? In other words, look at what's about to happen, y'all. Look at what's about to happen. If this line's not full up, it needed to be filled up. This is what happened. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream, okay? Daniel went to pray. Now, when Daniel went to Nebuchadnezzar to tell him the dream, Daniel had to see the dream in order to tell Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamed and what he saw. So in other words, God brought to Daniel the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. When he went to his secret place, don't you tell me that God can't put the reverse. Don't you tell me that God can't turn things around. He goes and he prays. God brings the dream to Daniel, the same dream that went through Nebuchadnezzar's mind in his unconscious state while he was sleeping, the same dream, God dropped it in Daniel's spirit. And Daniel sees the dream. Daniel gets up with confidence. This is a wise man. First of all, he's wise because he goes to God. See, nowhere in the Bible in Daniel, when he called the magicians and astrologers around, nowhere did you see them say, you know what, give me a little time, I'll be right back. Nowhere did you have nowhere, where were they going to go? But Daniel knew that I could ascertain the mysteries of God because, and for Daniel to know to go to the secret closet, God had already had to been dealing with him and revealing things about the situation and talking to him. God, Daniel was already in a place, and that's another hint. He was in a place to receive. God is blessing business. How many of us are in a place to receive? How many of us are in a place to obtain? Praise the Lord. God wants us to be in that place. So here's Daniel. First of all, he's wise. And the topic is wise men always seek God. Praise the Lord. Or wise men still seek him. Watch this. We're coming around to it. He goes and Daniel goes directly to God. Daniel's wise. So now he's still seeking God for the answer he needs about this dream. And so he comes back to Nebuchadnezzar, and what God shows Nebuchadnezzar is an image. An image. And he gives Daniel the interpretation of the image in the dream. Daniel goes before Nebuchadnezzar, explains the dream to him. Nebuchadnezzar falls at his feet and worships him. God promotes Daniel for his faithfulness. God promotes Daniel for using wisdom and going to God and tapping into God to get into the dream world. Praise the Lord. Experience the dream. Come back to the king. Tell the king what you dreamed or what he dreamed without Daniel having dreamed it himself. That's the miracle of God. Nobody can do it but God. Nobody. Nobody. The king was amazed. He was astounded. He was surprised because he hadn't been able to tell anybody about what the dream was. But I'd like to let you in on a secret. I believe God orchestrated it that way.
Hey.
I believe that that was the way for it to have unfolded. Praise the Lord. I believe that that was the way for God to bring God back in the kingdom. Y'all not talking to me up in here today. God has a way to bring God in. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God has a way to bring honor and glory to his name. And God will create a situation that will cause men to look up to him. God will cause a situation that will cause men to pray to him. God will create a situation so that the real people of God will stand up and show forth the praise that's due to his name. So he reveals the dream. Nebuchadnezzar is just struck with awe. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, sir. The magicians and all of their magic. Oh, God, the magicians. When you think of magicians, you think of people with influence, magical powers that's able to cause harm, that's able to produce spells and cause things to happen to people. But even the magic of the devil could not prevail against the power of God. This was a showdown right here in Babylon. God showed himself mightily. He showed himself stronger than magic. He showed himself stronger than the voodoo priest. He showed himself stronger than the astrologers or the soothsayers. He showed himself in this situation that I'm God above anything else. He showed himself. Praise the Lord. Showed himself mighty. Showed himself strong. He gave the interpretation. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. gave it to them. They began to praise God. The king fell. Praise the name of God. God was the one that set him up. God was the one that created this situation. Praise the Lord. When we talk of soothsayers, we talk of fortune telling. They couldn't even tell the king what he dreamed. But God drew out of Daniel. Why? Because Daniel went to God, who is wisdom. Look, God is wisdom. So Daniel went to wisdom to ascertain the wisdom about God in this situation. And he brought it back to the king. He brought it back and he shared with him about what that meant. Oh, praise the Lord. God did something mighty right there. He did something mighty. The Bible said in Matthew that when the wise men or magi came, it said that they worshiped him and that they left gifts. Praise the Lord. And I'm not sure if it was the kind of worship that would come from true believers today. However, they came with a gift, and they laid it there before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The thing about Daniel is that he knew that everything that he knew came from God. And that's what God wants us to know, that everything that we know comes from God, comes from God. Praise the Lord. See, if we didn't have it, we knew where to get it. And that's what God wants us to be. If we don't know it, if we don't have the wisdom about it, we need to know where to go to get it. Praise the Lord. You see, wisdom is not defined as your ability to know everything. Praise the Lord. Wisdom should be properly defined as, praise the Lord, your inability to not, your inability that when you don't know it, that you know where to get it. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's time for us to stop acting like we know everything. It's time for us to stop acting like we got to have an answer for everybody. If we don't know it, we need to admit we don't know it, or tell them we need to pray about it, or tell them we need to go to God, who is wisdom, to ascertain the answer. Praise the Lord. The difference between Daniel and the wise men of the Magi is that Daniel acquired his wisdom from God. The Magi and the wise men acquired their wisdom, praise the Lord, from the stars and the planets. Praise the Lord. The magicians, praise the Lord, and soothsayers acquired their wisdom from demons and devils, and praise the Lord, from practicing magic, praise the Lord. But Daniel knew where to go for his wisdom, praise the Lord. So there are men out there, praise the Lord, who know where to go when they don't have wisdom, praise the Lord. And Daniel models this. What a perfect model. Praise the Lord. But when you don't know the answer, I'm not going before the king not knowing the answer, but I'm going to go and I'm going to get the answer and I'm going to bring it back to the king. Oh, praise the Lord. Wise men still seek him. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. They do seek him. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible says, he giveth wisdom to the wise, who reveals secret things. He knows what is in darkness. Praise the Lord. He reveals secret things. Praise the Lord. The wisdom of God. Corinthians talks about the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of man. There is absolutely no match. No. When we talk about the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God, there is absolutely no match. There is absolutely no comparison there. When we talk about God's wisdom and man's wisdom, none, no comparison. Praise the Lord. But I'm about to tell you today that, praise the Lord, wise men still seek him. The ways in which wise men seek him are through some of these, through prayer, through fasting. We seek him. There's a scripture that says, knock, and it shall be opened. We seek him through studying. We seek him through, amen, biblical studies. We seek him by, amen, wanting to obtain more knowledge, not being settled with what we have, praise the Lord, but always looking for an opportunity to learn more, praise the Lord. I will never be content of the knowledge that I have now. I want more than I had yesterday. That's a wise man. praise the Lord, and my knowledge is not dependent on Apostle Clark. My knowledge, my wisdom is dependent on God himself. He is from which I draw wisdom from. Praise the Lord. Wise men, we look for signs. Oh, yes, we do. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for a sign, praise the Lord, that Jesus is about to work some miracles. I'm looking for a sign that Jesus is about to bring me out. And see, that's why, praise the Lord, I'm not moving too fast, because my wisdom tells me that if I move too early, I'm going to miss it. My wisdom tells me, praise the Lord, that I moved too early the last time. So wisdom's going to tell me that God is never too late, that he's on time. So I'm going to wait until my change comes. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible said in Matthew 2:2, where is he that is born king of the Jews? But we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. See, they saw a sign. They saw a sign. Praise the Lord. And they followed the sign. They were wise and being astrologers. They used the stars and planets and then for direction. Praise the Lord. But I'm looking for a sign. I feel a sign of a miracle in my spirit getting ready to take place. Praise the Lord. That there's about to be a climatic shift. That the atmosphere in which somebody has been living in is about to change. How do you know? Praise the Lord. Because I can see the sign. I can feel the sign. Praise the Lord. The wisdom of God tells me that everything is going to be all right. The wisdom of God tells me that he in his wisdom, praise the Lord, knows how to fix it. In fact, wisdom tells me that it's already done. Praise the Lord. It is already absolute. Praise the Lord. It is already complete. That's the wisdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Wise men still seek God. Praise the Lord. How do we know that they're still seeking God? Praise the Lord. He was sought through the scriptures by the prophets in Israel. Abraham sought God when he took Isaac up to be sacrificed. Praise the Lord. Him and his wisdom knew, praise the Lord, that the same God that gave me this child is the same God that's going to make a way, praise the Lord, out of no way. He told me to sacrifice my son, but you know what? I'm looking. Praise the Lord. Wisdom is telling me, praise the Lord, that though I'm walking up this way, wisdom is telling me to keep looking up, hold my head up, because God is going to bless me. Praise the Lord. There's going to be an opportunity for escape. Praise the Lord. There's going to be a ram. There's going to be a lamb in the bush. He's going to create an opportunity. Praise the Lord for me to get out of this thing. Moses thanked God when he got to the Red Sea, when there was nowhere else to go but forward. Praise the Lord. He had nothing else to do but to rely on wisdom. He couldn't look back for any magicians. He couldn't look back for the sorcerers. Praise the Lord. But he had to rely and stand on the wisdom of God. God, you did it when we were in Israel, and you promised to bring us out of this place. Now, God, wisdom, I'm depending on you. I'm counting on you. God, I don't know how you're going to bring us over the Red Sea, because there are mountains on one side. Here's the Red Sea on the other side. So, God, it's going to take wisdom for you to bring us across this Red Sea. He said, Moses, hold up the rod. Moses held up the rod, and the wisdom of God parted the Red Sea. I need somebody up in here to plant their hands for the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. That's why we can't look at how it looks right now. That's why we can't look at, praise the Lord, the situation right now, because the wisdom of God is going to work in it. Praise the Lord. Here you go, oh God. Hallelujah. God, I feel you today. The wisdom of God is at work in here. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And then when they got to the other side, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hold it back out. And here comes the water.
Hallelujah.
Wisdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Wisdom says this. If I made a way, the wisdom says this. If you got in it, I've already made a way for you to walk out of it. Wisdom says this. If you're walking through the waters, I already opened the door for you to walk out, for you to come on the other side. Remember when Peter said, God, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come on the water. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Wisdom said this even before Peter began to walk on the water, that if his faith fails, that I'm going to reach out my hand and I'm going to hold him up. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. There is no weakness in wisdom. There is no bending in wisdom. There is no holes in wisdom. Wisdom is complete, that knows all things and that all things come together. Solomon sought God for wisdom at a young age when he had to make decisions for the kingdom he ruled. Praise the Lord. In fact, praise the Lord, there was a situation where there was a baby that died, and praise the Lord, one of the mothers got up in the middle of the night to switch the babies. Praise the Lord, there was no way that Solomon could know what he knew except that he depended on the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. He had to allow God to talk to his spirit about it. Praise the Lord. And he was able to make right judgment. And people began to know of him as the wisest man, amen, in that particular time. His wisdom. Praise the Lord. All over. Who he was. People knew. Praise the Lord. And see, praise the Lord, the youth and somebody, praise the Lord, that may have somebody young in ministry. Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid of your youth. Praise the Lord. Her wisdom takes up the place of experience. So where you have new experience, God says, I'm going to give you wisdom. Praise the Lord, to know how to deal with the situation. That's the purpose of wisdom. I wish I had somebody up in here today that would give God a mighty and hallelujah praise.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. David saw God when he realized he made a mistake, and he had to get back in right standing with God. Wisdom told him this. Praise the Lord, that God is a God of wisdom, and that, in fact, he's a God that understands. And praise the Lord, though I made a mistake, praise the Lord, the wisdom of God, praise the Lord, and him already making a way, making an opportunity for me to get right, to get back in right standing with God, was already made. Praise the Lord. Esther sought God and declared a fast as they faced annihilation or destruction due to the evil devices of Haman. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the interesting situation, praise the Lord, that existed during this particular time, praise the Lord, is that Israel faced annihilation. Praise the Lord. And Mordecai had to get a message to Queen Esther. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he had to send another message to say, don't think of yourself. And the situation during this time was that anybody who went into the king's court, if they were not called, praise the Lord, could be executed or beheaded on the spot. Praise the Lord. And so Esther put the future of the nation on her back. She called the kingdom to a fast. And see, that's wisdom. Praise the Lord. When you know what to do, praise the Lord, that's wisdom. When you're all confused and when you're put in a situation, praise the Lord, when you have to make a decision, the decision that you make now will depend on the future of your family. Praise the Lord. That's why it's important now, the way we choose and how we choose. Praise the Lord, because what we choose now will affect my children, will affect their children. What we do now, praise the Lord, will affect those around us. Praise the Lord, and said the wisdom of God. She sought God and declared a fast as they faced, praise the Lord, annihilation. And the wisdom of God brought this thing together. Praise the Lord, when she went in before the king. The king, praise the Lord, had favor. She had favor in the eyes of the king. Praise the Lord. And instead of, amen, being executed or destroyed, praise the Lord, he granted her permission to talk. Praise the Lord. Men still seek God. Wise men still seek God. In this case, it was wise woman that still sought God. She sought God before she went into the king. She sought God before she went to request him. Praise the Lord. Even Job himself, yes? Do wise men still seek God? Yes, they do. Here is, amen, Job, who went through everything that he went through, who went through suffering and pain in his body, boils on his body. Do wise men still seek him? Yes, they do. Because when his wife came to him and wanted him and encouraged him to curse God, he said, you sound like a foolish woman. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God gave it to me. God can take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Daniel was another wise man. Praise the Lord, who sought the Lord. Praise the Lord. When they were threatened, when he was threatened to be thrown in the lion's den. Praise the Lord. Do wise men still seek God? Yes, they do. When they were threatened to throw him in the lion's den, he went to his room and prayed. When they threw him in there, he prayed, and God shut the lion's mouth. God is an amazing God. Do wise men still seek God? Yes, they do. They seek him. Praise the Lord. They seek him in challenges. They seek him in pain. They seek him in persecution. They seek him. Praise the Lord. Even when we go to the early church, praise the Lord, Paul and Silas were thrown in prison. Praise the Lord. Do wise men still seek God? Yes, they do. When they were in prison, praise the Lord, they sang praises to his name. And God shut the jail and brought them out of the prison. Yes, wise men still seek the Lord. Praise the Lord. They seek him. 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 Praise the Lord. God wants us on our knees. God wants us seeking him. He wants us chasing after wisdom. He wants us chasing after himself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. These magi in the Bible, praise the Lord, and these wise men represent, praise the Lord, represent wise men, represent a story, praise the Lord, of seeking, praise the Lord, the child that was to be born, amen, King of kings, the child that was to be born, Lord of lords, praise the Lord. And so if the question is, does wise men still seek him? Yes, they do. Praise the Lord. I seek him every day of my life. Praise the Lord. On the way to work, I'm driving. I'm seeking the Lord. Do I have any witnesses out there? Praise the Lord. When you get up in the morning, you seek the Lord. Before you go on your job, you seek the Lord. You're not just wise men, but it's wise women. You seek the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you got to make a decision for your family, you seek the Lord. Praise the Lord. Seek the Lord. God will bless you. God will make a way out of no way. Hallelujah. God will prosper you. And the thing that I like about God is that I'm not studying stars. I'm not an astrologer. Praise the Lord. But I'm totally dependent on God. I'm totally looking up to God. Thank you, Jesus. He is my everything. So while everybody else is seeking everybody else, I'm seeking God. Wise men still seek him. Yes, they do. They seek him. They seek him. They look for him. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The world today, need to seek him. They need to run after him. Hallelujah. They need to chase after him. Even with the lady with the issue of blood, she became wise. She had already spent all of her money. Praise the Lord for her wisdom and the fact. You know what? That if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know this is not the best time to touch him because I've got internal bleeding. But guess what? Praise the Lord. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to touch him and I'm going to be made whole. Praise the Lord. Wisdom is a principal thing. Wisdom will make you whole. Wisdom will make you complete in him. Because it says to him that you acknowledge God as wisdom. And so you become wise by seeking after wisdom. Seeking after the wisdom of God. Not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. I am going after wisdom. I've learned in these days and times, we have to be very careful and very gentle, even when we talk to people. Praise the Lord. Even when we're witnessing, we have to use wisdom. Praise the Lord. He that winneth the soul is wise. Praise the Lord. So God don't want us walking around here empty. He don't want us walking around here devoid of knowledge and devoid of information. Praise the Lord. He wants us to use wisdom in everything that we do. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Even when it comes to witnessing, we have to use wisdom. Even when it comes to talking to people, we have to use wisdom. All of us as preachers, as ministers, as apostles, evangelists, we have to use wisdom, even in talking to people, because the way that I talk to sister so-and-so over here is not the way that I may talk to sister so-and-so over here, because they're two different people. And so in my counseling, in my talking with them, I'm using wisdom. I'm asking God to direct my conversation. God, because I don't want to lose anybody. I don't want to cause anybody to miss heaven. Praise the Lord. Wise men, they still seek him. They still seek him. Not just in the Bible, but they still seek him. Praise the Lord. That miracle is about to break out. And the only way miracles are going to break out is that wise men is seeking him. We're about to move into an hour of miracles. We're moving into a season of miracles. Why? It's because, yes, it's true. The wise men and wise women, they still seek him. Praise the Lord. And because we're seeking him, it's going to be manifested throughout the country. His word is going to go out throughout the country. When he is sought, he is found, and miracles take place. That's why if I were you, if I had sickness in my body, if my children are not in the right place, I will wisen up quickly and go after wisdom. Ask God to bless. Ask God to turn it around in Jesus' precious name. God bless you, Evangelist Bernard. We turn it back over to you.
Woo! My gosh. My Lord. Woo! Who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge? Among you out there who have heard this word, let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Oh, glory, hallelujah. We thank God. Woo, that was rich. I mean, he preached the power and the Holy Ghost, the anointing truly spoke out to this man of God today. We have truly been treated real good by a wise man. We have been taught today on this broadcast by a wise man speaking and teaching on the wise man which proceeded out from the only wise God, our Savior. He heard it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful, ooh, touching. My. If I was you, I'd be running back to wise men. And even the shepherds did so. They did the same thing over in the Gospel of Luke. I'd be running to seek this wisdom. Because this wisdom that went forth today, we talking about the word. It ain't coming from the earth. It don't come from man. Oh, he made it. Oh, my God, it's very clear. Amen. God bless you so very much. Always. God bless you and your family, Dr. and Pastor Clark. Bless you. We're going to move on and have our very own founder and host of this beautiful, wonderful segment of this entire ministry, Evangelist Adrienne Bernard, for her to come at this time, and we're going to acknowledge all of our callers. Amen. Evangelist Bernard. God bless you, woman of God.
Amen, amen, amen. Dr. Clark, I've got a cold, been struggling with the sore throat. So, Evangelist Lucilla, thank you for standing in my stead and hosting. I tell you, Alba, I just feel something leaping down in my belly as that word went forth. I tell you, as I was sitting here, Dr. Clark, it's just an honor to have you with us on today, and also First Lady Clark. I got to see which one is her number to open up her line. I tell you, I was just mesmerized. My soul is just full on today after hearing that message from Dr. Clark. I'm always just when you laughing and just chuckling because that word is so good, and you just say, good. You try to contain yourself, and I put myself on mute a little bit where I wasn't able to disturb the message. I tell you, that was a powerful message on today, and I was just looking over the broadcast log and seeing all of the many times that we have had the pleasure for Dr. Clark to graciously accept our invitation to come and speak. And I was just looking at these messages, and on June the 15th, we had a subject that was the gift of wisdom. And he just has been, he just has a special anointed on him to talk about wisdom. I looked at that, and I said, Dr. Clark, you expounded on that wisdom before, and I know God does something special for you when you begin to talk about the wisdom of God. So I'm just honored, and certainly I appreciate him taking out of his busy schedule. I know you're probably going on into your Christmas holidays. Dr. Clark is a principal of an elementary school, and I know you all have been going through because of the tragedy that occurred in our nation on last week with those kids in the elementary school being slaughtered. And we just, you know, we just have to be always mindful of what God is doing here in the earth. And as Dr. Clark began to talk about prayer, you know, it's no way in the world that God would have even attempted to answer Daniel if he didn't have a relationship with him, if he hadn't really been seeking God before that hour. Oh, God, I tell you, you have just, you brought that word in a way that I never even, you know, sometimes you hear different messages and you can hear people expound on the same passages of scriptures, but God just does something when he gives this anointing and this word to special people, and you can just open up their understanding. If there ever was a time for us to really begin to pray and to seek God, it is now, just not when tragedy hit, but if we, the people of God, would just come together and pray, we can abort some of the tragedies and some of the mishaps that happen in our families and even in the nation. But we can't come together because we're so divided. You know, we got all kind of issues. I mean, Christians, we have more issues than the world. Hallelujah. But I thank God for a relationship with God. And I thank God for the people of God that really sincerely pray and fast and seek God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And, you know, just the hear on today how they had a mass service and they're still burying these children every day as the nation is still mourning the people of God, and we allow our children to leave home and we won't even say a word of prayer over them. We won't even cover them with the blood of Jesus. You know, tomorrow ain't promised to us. This is the time when we have to show love, not just because it's a holiday, but this should be in our heart every day. Day to administer and demonstrate love to everyone we meet. I say, when I see folks with frowns on their faces, and, you know, I don't even want to get near them because I don't want that spirit to jump on me. Hallelujah. So I'm just honored today to have Dr. Clark with us, and I'm going to open up the line and see which one of these numbers out of the Carolinas belongs to First Lady Clark. We're just so thankful for her being right there in the ministry with her husband, supporting him and loving on the people of God. I mean, it takes something to really, you know, have commitment along with your husband. And many times the first ladies, you know, their casts are pushed into the background, and we just reverence and honor the men of God. But these women, if they did not stand right beside their husband and get in the trenches with them, they could not be free. They could not have the mindset to be able to minister to God's people. So we honor the woman of God on today, and we certainly thank God for the work that they're doing down there in the Carolinas. So, First Lady Clark, it's a pleasure to have you. I open up both of those lines in South Carolina. So we bless the Lord for the woman of God on today. God bless you, First Lady Clark. Okay, I don't know which her line is open. All right, First Lady Clark. Well, Apostle Clark.
Yes, ma'am.
I see the last four digits of two Carolina numbers is 9020 and 3815. Is either one of those lines, First Lady Clark?
Praise the Lord. This is Minister Tony from Global Outreach Ministries. I just wanted to say on behalf of my apostle and my Pastor Clark, Apostle, I thank you for that word today. You did an awesome job. And for being our spiritual father and continuing to guide Global to where there need to be, where we need to be and where we are striving to. 2013 is going to be an awesome year for Global, and I thank God for you and Pastor Clark every day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sister. We appreciate you coming on and hearing this word from Dr. Thank God for being one of the parishioners that he is overseeing in that great city. Amen. Now, there's another caller. Also from the Carolinas. Can you introduce yourself? Amen. Your lines are open. Amen. Well, we're going to move on. I do have the lines open. Thank God for Sister Millie was with us. She has to drop off, and also First Lady Carol has the lines open for Dawn. Dawn, if you want to have any words, you're welcome to do so at this time. Amen, amen. Well, we're going to go back to Dr. Clark again. We certainly appreciate him. We're looking to do something in 2013 where we'll have this man of God. I mean, he's not a stranger to Northern California. He is the overseer and one of Prophetess Harrison and Bishop Harrison's spiritual sons in the gospel. And we're looking to have him out here this year with New Destiny Ministries. And I tell you, we just love this young man. He's energetic. He's anointed. He's loving. He's kind. He has all the attributes of a shepherd. You know, the Bible say, I was in Jeremiah 3:15, he said, I'm going to give you pastors according to mine own hearts. Some people are exalting and lifting themselves up as pastors, but the true pastor is going to be a shepherd after God's own heart. And you will be able to see and witness those fruits and the manifestation of the heart of God when you have a man of God that's seeking the heart of God, that's seeking to be loving and kind and lead the people of God. Everybody can lead God's people. Some are in it for the fishes and the loaves. Pastor Dr. Clark, we preached a message on yesterday about there's danger in division. God was speaking to the leaders about scattering his flock and about just taking advantage of the people of God. But we have to know who we're following today, because there's many voices in the land, but you have to know the voice of God. And the only way you can do that is by establishing a relationship with God, about getting into this word and doing what the word say do. We can't be led by every wind of doctrine, because there's the Antichrist and already set up his throne. Hallelujah. And he's come to deceive it, but the Bible said if it was possible, he would be able to deceive the very elect. Hallelujah. But those that know the voice of God, those that know the voice of their shepherd, they won't be deceived in this last hour. So we just thank God for Apostle Clark, and we're going back to him. We thank God again for evangelists. I feel my throat clearing up a little bit. You know, when you begin to talk about the Lord, hallelujah, he'll do something for you. So we thank God for evangelist Priscilla Williams standing in our stead on today, and I feel a release, evangelist Williams, coming in my voice and in my throat. I just thank God for you on today, and again, thank God for Apostle Clark. give First Lady Jennifer our love. We're looking to come out there and visit with you all this year, too. We're just looking for God to do some wonderful, exciting things in 2013. We're not looking at the bad. We're only going to feast on the good, because every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. And I just believe that he's going to do some great and mighty things for his people in this upcoming year. So we're going back to Pastor Dr. Clark, and we just love you, Dr. Clark. And we're going to work on some things and get those dates together for you where you'll be free. Hallelujah. We're starting already getting our funds and everything together, and we're not going to even dwell on that. We're looking for the Lord for the open up that door where you can come out here and minister the weekend for us and just have a glorious time. And I know the people of God will enjoy you. And we just want to say we commemorated 1 year about 2 weeks ago in our True Fellowship Conference, 1 year on this Blog Talk Radio, and we are thankful that we have impacted over 13,000 souls. So, Pastor Clark, if nobody's on here but me, this is the mandate that God has on my life for this season. So I know somebody's going into the archives, and I encourage each and every one of you all today to go back into the archives and pull up this wonderful message. Wise men, they're still seeking God. Amen. So we thank you, Dr. Clark, and thank you for what you're doing. We pray God's blessings, continuous blessings on your life there for the people that God has given you charge over, and for your wife and your family, and also even for your secular job. We're looking for God to do some things where, hallelujah, where you can minister full time, and I know that's a desire in your heart, and God will just provide and make provisions for you where you can minister full time and do all work of the ministry, because that's what God is calling for. He don't want us on these things. Yeah, we know somebody has to be in these secular jobs. Hallelujah. Yeah. But God want a watchman that's able to be on the wall 24-7. Hallelujah. Yes, we know you need rest. And yes, we know you need to provide for your family. But I tell you what, when you take care of God's business, hallelujah, he's obligated to you. He's obligated to meet all of your needs according to his riches and his glory. And that's my prayer for you this upcoming year, Pastor Clark. That God will bless you to go full time in ministry, and that he would give you the desires of your heart, because your desire is to please God. Your desire is to do the work of the ministry. Your desire is to build up the kingdom of God. I know that's embedded in your heart, and God is going to bring that dream. He's going to bring those visions into fruition. Amen. Yeah. So God bless you. We're going back to you for your final comments and thoughts, and you can close us on out. And before we do that, we just want to remind you we're on this live Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And on Saturday, if you're in the Carolinas, we have my girlfriend out of Apex, North Carolina. She hosts a segment called The Overcame. So if you have some powerful testimonies about what God has done in your life, tune in on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, the Carolina time. That's 5 a.m. here in California. But we make the sacrifice and come on that line. And she has had some wonderful people to come on the line on Saturday mornings. And on Sunday morning, we're on for 30 minutes of corporate prayer. So we're looking forward to God just blessing. We're also doing a 21-day fast starting on January the 7th. We're going to give you some more information as that time approaches. We're looking for God. We're going to this new year with a bang. And when I say bang, it's believe and never give up. We're not going to give up. We're going to believe God. Amen. So back into your hands, Dr. Clark. We love you and we appreciate you in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you, evangelist. We thank God for you, and thank God, amen, for that word, amen, that was very timely and on time. We praise God for that, amen. It is our prayer in Jesus' precious name. Full-time ministry is our prayer. So God bless you, amen, for that word today. Praise the Lord. And we pray your throat, amen, get better for you in Jesus' name. And we thank God for the host today. I didn't write down the host's name, but
Evangelist Priscilla Williams.
Evangelist Priscilla Williams, we praise God for you. And we thank God for you standing in the gap today in Jesus'
amen.
Name. And God knows all things.
Amen.
He knows how to do all things.
Amen.
God bless you. And may
amen.
Heaven smile upon you. And Evangelist Bernard, my wife, she co-pastor is probably in between because she comes on, you know, while she's still working. So she's listening and working at the same time. So, you know, she probably might have gotten maybe disconnected along the way. But I know she was on the line earlier trying to listen in between work. But we just praise God and we thank God for this time of season, time of the year. And we pray that God will bless everybody. And we pray everybody have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as well in Jesus' name. And we pray blessings upon the radio broadcast and thank God for all of the listeners today. Amen. God is good and he's good all the time. And, Father, we thank you today, oh God, for this broadcast that has come on. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you give this broadcast longevity. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, I'm asking you, God, just to do something different, oh God, for the broadcast in 2013. Oh God, bring revival to it in the name of Jesus. Oh God, even, oh God, new speakers and more speakers, oh God, coming through the broadcast. We just praise you right now, God, for every blessing. And we pray that you would bless the state of California. We pray, God, that you would bless Evangelist Bernard, God, and her sacrifice, oh, God, to stick and stay with the broadcast. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we praise you right now. God, as we leave this place, as we leave the air, oh, God, but never to depart from your presence, we ask, oh, God, that you be with us again the next time we come on. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless everybody and see y'all next time in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. First Lady Clark and yourself, we have a certificate of appreciation we'll be sending you from this ministry, just thanking you all for all your support and all of your prayers during this past. Get that in the mail to you. And God bless you. Give the kids a kiss for us. And we just love you with the love of God. God bless you, Evangelist Priscilla. And also, Sister Tony, we had another listener that did not respond from the Carolina. But God bless you. We love you. We appreciate you. We're going to close out with this song. It's by Beverly Crawford.
The song
never done anything
says,
else for
if
you.
He
does nothing
do
else for you. He's done enough. God bless
anything
you. Love you.
Else.
Have a great weekend.
He's already done enough. Bishop Brown wrote this song for me. Hallelujah. Oh, we going home, y'all. Old school.
beautiful weekend. See you tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you. Be safe. Be careful.